This morning, we're going to do an ongoing series of conversations with community members who are experiencing this pandemic in real time with the rest of us to find out how they're doing, what they're doing, and to try to take a pulse of our community. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 404-880-6211, and we may share your story as well. This morning, I'm speaking with Randall Vaughn, a small business owner here in Metro Atlanta. Randall Vaughn, welcome to the Local Take.
Hi, thank you, Kipling.
The reason that I reached out to you was because recently we found out, you know, certain businesses were going to be reopening in our community. And that next morning, yours was the first post I saw that said after, you know, some consultation, you would not be reopening. So before we go there, can you share a little bit about your business, Classic In Town, and how you became a barber?
Okay, well, Classic In Town Barbershop was founded back in March of 1992. And we started off as a full-service salon, spa, and a barbershop all together. We were in Castleberry Hill. But after maybe about 12 or 13 years, kind of decided to kind of focus on the core competency, which is men's services, barbering, and products. And, you know, that's what we've been doing ever since. We're located in downtown Atlanta now on Marietta Street, 75 Marietta Street. And, you know, we were doing very well. You know, we service the downtown area. All of the conventioners come to us, as well as, you know, downtown office workers, you know, everybody in the downtown area. So, you know, we invested a lot in search engine optimization. We were able to really kind of hone in on the downtown business community. So we were doing very well before all of this kind of transpired.
So now what made you become a barber? And then what made you decide to open Classic In Town?
Well, that's an interesting story. I actually was working in banking. I went to Morehouse College, and after school, I had a little short stint at the Federal Home Loan Bank. But my sister, who was a stylist, was out in Los Angeles at the time, and she was considering moving to Atlanta and wanted to start a business. And, you know, she had been a stylist when she was in high school. And, you know, I'm an artist, so, you know, barbering is just an extension of, you know, my creative output. So I thought that'd be a good idea that we could go in business together. So the first, I think it was 13, 14 years, it was she and I. But after that, she decided to go on and try some other things, and I kept the business. So, but it's been a really cool business. You know, we're a 5-star Google business, and, you know, we were doing very well. Like, for instance, you know, all of the airline pilots that fly into Hartsfield, they all come to us. I found out that we're on all of the international message boards for places to come get, you know, facials, razor shaves, and the like. So, you know, we were doing very well.
So now, Randall, have you experienced anything like this in your career as an entrepreneur? In, you know, there have been downturns in the economy before. Has it been anything like this? Anything close?
Well, this is just kind of wholly different. You know, being an entrepreneur is, you know, you have to have a lot of faith, and, you know, you have to be prepared to weather the ups and downs, because that's a guarantee in, you know, enterprise entrepreneurship. There will be ups and downs. So, you know, I've been doing it for so long. You know, like I said, we've been in business since 1992, so I don't get too worked up about any highs or lows. But, you know, nothing like this where, you know, this pandemic where, you know, the city or the country or the world really is just kind of on shutdown. And, you know, where you go downtown, I just left downtown a few minutes ago, and, I mean, there's absolutely nobody on the streets, and it's just a real interesting time. But as far as the economics of it all, yeah, sure, we've been in this position before where, you know, there's been economic downturns and, you know, situations that arise for whatever reason that would, you know, cause your flow to, you know, be affected. But nothing quite like this. We've been closed for going on a month and a week now. So this is interesting. The building that we're in closed, and, you know, the mayor came out and said that, you know, the city was going to kind of lock everything down. So, yeah, we've been on the outs for over a month now.
And let me just say, I can't imagine what that's like, because barbers and beauticians, these are folks who go home every night with their money. You know, you go home every night with your salary, so to speak. You go to home every night. And so for you to go from, you know, going home every night with your money to now having nothing, is there a way, you know, that, you know, your customers, your clients, the barbers in your shop are able to prepare for that?
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's an extremely difficult situation for quite a few folk out here, as far as stylists, you know, CMTs, massage therapists, you know, estheticians, manicures, and the like. Is very, very, very difficult. So what I've been doing for our folk is, you know, just really delving into all the different programs that might be able to assist, you know, independent contractors. And I will say that there are quite a few, but a lot of these programs and grants and even the business insurance thing through the state, you know, they are real slow to move. And that's been the most disappointing thing to me, is that, you know, this is a very dire situation. And you think that, you know, all these institutions would step up and, you know, do the right thing. But as always, there's a lot of red tape involved. And, you know, even with the Federal CARES Act, you know, it was in excess of $350 billion, I believe it was, that, you know, ran out in a week and a half. And, you know, come to find out, a lot of corporations at the top received a lot of, you know, funding. For example, Ruth Chris Steakhouse, you know, received
Harvard.
$1 million. Yeah, Harvard University, and there was a Shake Shack I saw. They gave back the $20 million that they received. So there were loopholes, you know. You know, corporations applied and used their individual stores as, you know, small businesses. So, you know, there were loopholes that were created, you know, just for that reason. And, you know, so by the time, you know, small business folk, the mom and pop establishment like ours came into play, you know, there was, you know, nothing left. So we'll see what happens with this next round and see if there might be anything available for us.
Now, Randall, you mentioned in your post, your social media post, that, you know, after consulting with, you know, different people, you all had decided not to reopen on the day that the governor has said, you know, you all could reopen. And the thing that just doesn't quite work, you know, in my hearing is that, you know, you're still supposed to practice the social distancing. And I just cannot come to grips with how you would cut someone's hair or provide a massage or a tattoo or a mani-pedi, you know, and stay the 6 feet apart. I've seen the list of, you know, health. It was over 100 things that you guys are supposed to do now to be able to open and stay safe. It includes, you know, wearing PPE and face mask and changing smocks. And what do you think of that? And is there any way you're going to be able to open and carry out those procedures that they say are being put in place to keep you safe?
Right. Yeah, this is going to be extremely difficult just from the nature of, you know, the hands-on work that we provide, you know. So it's very difficult to, you know, stay distant from someone when, you know, the very nature of what you're doing requires you to be pretty much right on top of them, whether you're a CMT or a manicurist or a barber or a stylist, you know. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. And, you know, I don't know, you know, what a lot of people are going to do about that. For us, you know, the way our space is designed, it kind of promotes a one-on-one interaction. So, you know, I think that if, you know, the operator wears a mask and gloves and you keep the conversation down to a bare minimum, and, you know, you kind of get folk in and out with a lot of clients lingering around. I think that might be doable, but, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do. For example, all of our operators are taking a Barbicide, which is the a national disinfecting company, and they have a certification that, you know, operators can take to, you know, let the client know that, hey, you know, we are doing everything that we can to, you know, keep our space sanitized and sterilized. And, you know, so those types of things are what we intend to do when we do reopen and, you know, keep folk, you know, reasonably apart as it relates to clients coming into the space, you know, only allowing so many at a time. Again, our space is designed kind of perfectly to kind of achieve that. So, you know, we might be a little different than some other spaces.
And now, do you think you'll get innovative with maybe everyone, you know, wearing PPE jumpsuit or something that is disposable so that they aren't taking it with them when that, you know, client leaves the personal space? Because what they say that you guys are supposed to change in between each person?
Well, one of the first things, because the state of Georgia's cosmetology licensing board just came out today with information as it relates to how you should operate, how salons and barbershops should operate. And one of the main things was that they're suggesting that everybody's temperature is taken. So they have these temperature gauges that are non-invasive. You think you point them at the forehead and you take their temperature, and anybody who has a fever or temperature can't come into the space. So that's one of the things. There's a lot of other things, but, you know, you just have to, you know, do what you can and, you know, try to proceed from there. But we're going to wait for a few more weeks and kind of see how this trial run goes and if there are any spikes in illness and, you know, just kind of try to, you know, move forward from there.
And you're saying, you know, come in, get your hair cut and get out. So the whole culture of the hair of the barbershop is going to change. But it needs to in this environment, right?
That is correct. Yeah, for a lot of places, that is a major thing. You know, the community coming together and, you know, in salons and in barbershops and in our communities have always been traditionally a place where people can come and kind of let their hair down, so to speak, and you know, chop it up and talk about this issue or that. And, you know, but this is things of time. Everything's going to be completely different, I think, you know, going forward. What exactly it's going to look like kind of remains to be seen, Kipling. So, you know, let's just stay tuned. And, you know, we're human, you know, we're human beings. And, you know, we touch, we talk, we hug, you know. And, you know, right now we haven't been able to do those things. So, you know, going forward, we'll see what things look like, you know.
Now, Randall, we've been talking about your business and being a barber. How has your family been impacted, or has your family been impacted by the pandemic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm a single parent. And my youngest son, who was a sophomore at Howard University, he's home with me, and even he works in the evenings at Kroger. And, you know, he's still taking classes online at Howard. And, you know, he's been affected by it because, you know, he's 20 years old. He's a social person. He's a young man, and he hasn't been able to go out and kind of hang out with his friends. And he's been impacted. My oldest son lives in Charlotte. He's a Syracuse University grad, and he works in IT and banking. And, you know, so he's able to work from home, so he really hasn't missed a beat. But like my other my siblings, you know, they're all entrepreneurs, and we've all been affected. You know, we had a family conversation over the phone just last week, and everybody seems to, you know, making the best of it. And like I said, you know, entrepreneurship enterprise is a rough and tumble business. You know, you have to kind of roll with the punches and not get too worked up either way. So everybody's, you know, taking the necessary precautions and steps to, you know, kind of ride this thing out.
Well, Randall, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. And now, is there anything else that you want to share about the changes in your life in a pandemic, or have we covered it all?
Yeah, I think we've covered pretty much everything. This is just very different because, you know, I'm accustomed to being around people all of the time. So now that's been kind of taken out of off the table there, as far as, you know, community coming together. You know, I get out and I walk. I have a bike and I ride my bike, and, you know, if I'm able to be outdoors, I'm fine. So, you know, that's what I've been doing to kind of keep my sanity. And, you know, everybody take your vitamin C and you know, get that vitamin D via the sun. You know, it'll help a lot.
I hope to see you on the other side, my man. Thank you so much, Randall.
Yeah. Hey, thanks again, Kipling, for having me.